Whenever you're ready, Ellen. Hi.
Hi, Helen. I'm feeling a little overwhelmed by the amount of words right now. That it's very, I find it confusing and difficult to voice clearly the question. I suppose I come back to again and again. So at the beginning of this last conversation you had with, I think, Anne Equal, this last lady you spoke to, you said, if I can destroy my ability to believe I am separate from it, right? And at the end of this conversation, you said we not want to get rid of anything. So that connects to, so I'm just going to name that as part of the confusion I have, right? But not that you've created that confusion. I'm saying it's very
It
you.
seems paradoxical what I said,
But that's not where the question comes from. I'm just saying it, because there's been so many words, I'm trying to put pieces together of a difficulty I have with this, where I think that the difficulty is created because I'm kind of looking perhaps like the wrong way through a microscope or something, and so I once asked you a question that I think I sent in, which was about an experience I'd had when it seems like I fell off a bicycle and I was found unconscious. And I was out. It must have been from the evidence of the person who found me and all the rest of it, that it must have been that I was out for at very least 15 minutes. And that during that time, there was no awareness of being whatsoever, like absolutely no awareness of being separate or being anything or anything. And I haven't come, what brings me to, as Rupert Spira would say, talking about these matters is not that I have a miserable life and I just want to get happy or something. It's really curiosity that it seems like there is an understanding available to me. If only I could realign myself and look at it in the right way. And so it's really clear to me that I am not separate from anything I see around me. There's a real clear knowing of that, particularly in nature. And it's a deep, deep knowing that has gone. The lady speaking before, talking about in her, very, very early experience. Like I've known that from forever, that I'm not separate from this, that this is all me. But I couldn't, but in languaging it like that there's an I and an it, that I'm not, that there is a separation created. And on the basis of that created separation, there is my existence. There is my separate existence. This person who is in Wales speaking to you in wherever you are.
Yorkshire, yeah.
It's driving me crazy, Helen, because I feel like I'm on a treasure hunt. Like all together, we're on this treasure hunt to find something. And I'm like, is it really like that? Am I just got it wrong?
Does the fact that you talk about that oneness, or does it have to create a separation? Or is it really that it just seems to be? Can there be a seems to be and the knowing at the same time? So you have a
Yes,
recognition that you're one with everything.
there definitely is a recognition that it's that there is a me that seems to be separate and isn't
So do
really.
you have to get rid of that? There's
I don't
also a
know.
knowing.
I don't know. What you said earlier is like that I have to destroy it.
The only thing we have to destroy is our ability to believe that that there is all I am. So I can have a sense of being someone, but I can no longer believe that's all I am, or that the noumenon is something other that I have to get to.
Right. And earlier, you know, one of the many beautiful things that I've heard you say that's really, really landed with me is that maybe there is no person. There are just these karmic patterns, and that we go, there's a person with karmic patterns. It's like, no, the karmic patterns are the person. And that really resonates with me. And so within those karmic patterns, there is this coming from time to time of a real belief in separation. And the melt, the dissolving of that. And somewhere in the course with you and the work I've done with many others, there's a kind of something that, which I call the treasure hunt, that at some point that strand of the karmic pattern that sometimes believes itself to be separate will just disappear forever, and then I will really have arrived, and now I can properly become a student. Does that make sense?
Yeah, some movement towards a future moment where I can be the self because I've released all my karmic patterns.
Yeah, something like that. If you languished it like that.
But it's the other way around, and it was for me. When I come to see there really isn't anyone with these patterns, in fact, that someone is made of karmic patterns of separate being, and the presence of a body and the fact that the senses are perceiving in this body and that it's speaking and the body might be thinking, the brain might be thinking, gives the illusion of a separate someone. And that illusion will be there as long as the body's there. There seems to be a central locus here where awareness is looking through, that gives the sense that there's someone. But if that is just a sense and it's not an actual thing, then it begins to, it's seen through enough times to just be a sense. As we looked with Helena before, you couldn't actually find it. It's here. It seems that I'm here talking. When I look for where I am, I don't get any answer at all. There's just formlessness. So can this sense of being someone coexist beautifully with the knowing that I'm everywhere? Do they have to be in opposition, or can they be beautifully complementary? Am I not the everywhereness expressing itself as someone somewhere, but no longer able to suffer because I can't believe I have to pick one or the other of those? The self is not trying to get rid of the sense of separateness at all. It revels in it, enjoys it. Once we can't believe that's all I am is this separate being, and when it's gone, I'm gone. Like everything that makes you individual, we can celebrate.
Yeah, so I feel like where the tension or the grip is coming from is the part of those of the conditioning or the karmic patterns or the necessary feature of being in a body in order to experience that, which is this thing called time. Mm-hmm. And so that somewhere it's when I listen to you, when I hear you rather, it's like, oh, this is the river kind of looking, where the hell's the sea?
Yeah, I can't find it. Yeah, I'm not there yet.
No, but it's like, well, I am on, you know, like I am already the sea. It's like it's a process. And then the part of the time of the separate of the me on this course and all these courses is like, well, I should be at the sea, but you know, is there anything I can do to make this go a bit quicker? Yeah. Or something. And so when I do, you know, when I don't know how many times I've now, you know, been on this dissolving course, but there is a kind of sense in there that there's an invitation that I ought to do something to make the river run faster.
Yeah. And
that's my
all conclusion. You can do is see that you are already the ocean. and you are the river, and that they're not two different things. And while you're thinking like a river, you might want to get somewhere. While you're thinking like the ocean, you're happy just where you are.
Mm-hmm.
But those are just two modes of your being, two ways you can show up. I can feel like a someone doing something, having a conversation, or I can feel like the everywhereness. And as I don't try to pick which one, we're constantly trying to pick which one of two options.
I've kind of got the answer to my question about, you know, when you're saying about destroy the belief that I am separate from it. I think the answer is for me to write on a piece of paper, I am separate from it, and just put it in the fire and then never think about it again.
If that works, then great. Yeah.
I think that is the way forward for me.
You are the infinite self, but you're also showing up as this wonderful human being who is experiencing time and space. And yes, we might not know that they're not real and separation isn't real. But does that mean we have to throw all that out? Is there a reason for this sense of time and space? What is that? What is the best use of that now? It's not a mistake. It's not something going wrong.
No, it's beautiful. It's absolutely beautiful.
Yeah.
It's an extraordinary experience. And one of the things that gets in the way of me being able to enjoy that extraordinary experience is this belief that there's something I'm not really understanding, and that there are people like Helen and, you know, who've just like got this thing. And it's like, if only I could wake up quicker, I'd get this thing.
Well, you know, speaking from a direct experience, the more I forgot,
yes,
the happier I was. Yeah.
Well, that's exactly why I'm going to put that.
You're only suffering because you know more than I do. I don't know anything. I'm not holding on to anything.
Mm.
And that's really the little, it's just this kind of latent idea we have that we have to, there's something I can do or become or understand that's going to get me there faster. But that falls away in the recognition I am that. I can't get there. Can't get there.
Yeah, that's that. That's very soothing.
It was life-saving for me, definitely. You know, I'm sure we've all had many physical incarnations of desperately trying to get somewhere. And in this lifetime, we just substituted fame or wealth for awakening, you know, but we're still trying to get there, which is why lesson 3 is lesson 3. Let me prove to myself I am there already. There's nothing I can do or need to do even. And it's the nature of the ocean to form rivers, isn't it? It's the nature of the unmanifest to make these shapes of a human being and things. And that's wonderful when we're just allowing that.
Yeah, I feel like what works for me right now is, rather than destroying any sense of me being separate, is enjoying the fact that I'm both separate and not separate.
For me, the difference was, I totally agree with that, the difference was really moving to what, rather than separate, but individual. I can be everywhere and I'm also appearing as an individual, which is not the same as separate.
No, individual. I love this whole notion of the indivisible jewel. That's incredibly helpful.
And to embrace one, you've got to embrace the other because they are the same.
Thank you.
I think we got there in the end, did we?
Oh, we always get there, and it's always a delight, and I'm really grateful. Thank you.
Thank you for your questions, and lovely. Yeah. Okay, so we'll take the 3 hands that are up, and then we will leave it for today. Sylvia, when you're ready.
Hello, Helen.
Hi.
Can you see me, hear me?
It was very quiet, but I can see you, yeah?
Can you hear me now?
Yes, just about, yeah.
And I can't see myself. How come? Is it okay? I don't have to be seen, but it's just to be sure that it's okay, everything.
I think it's not because it's quiet. Zoom isn't picking up on your image, but it goes with who's making most noise, I think. But we'll carry on anyway.
Okay. Thank you very much. A question. It's not maybe a question. It's more like a clarity. So today when we started and you said it goes, you know, to the place, There I have noticed there was a clear, I don't want to use a jump, but there was something that distinguished and different in the level. And I even know that is the level of the depth is not the correct words, but I need to find something to distinguish between, maybe it is attributes or quality of the reality. I don't know. So when I went, I use it now, question mark, deep, there wasn't a clear experience of nothing. And then it was experience like in a different level of everything. And then it was like third layer or depth or whatever we call it, I don't know. And there I could find myself as a, not as a, just what you said, not as a separate self, but as a, as a, as a, as an actor in a game or whatever.
We call yeah.
It. Is it, am I doing this correct?
Yeah, because you can experience yourself as nothing at all. You can experience yourself as everything. You can also experience yourself as a something or someone. And only our egoic sense of self would try to decide which one of those is most real or best. You know, it's trying to get rid of the someone and experience the nothingness only. But the nothingness is showing up as someone and as all of this. So at times in my life, I feel very much nothing at all, totally empty. Sometimes I'll really feel, as Alan was just saying, a deep sense of love and connection with everything and everyone, a feeling of being everywhere. And then feeling isn't the right word, but you know, there isn't really a better one that I've found yet. But then also sometimes I feel like someone, if I'm talking to my daughter and we're trying to resolve something, I can feel very much like a someone somewhere. And that's just fluidly shifting all the time. You know, and it's not like I have to pick now which one of those. I can show up as everything, something, or nothing. And they're all beautiful in that.
What you just said, that resonated with me, because I was looking for the correct words. Shifting. There is a kind of movement involved.
Yeah.
And this, it was for the first time the very clear experience of this movement. Very, it is very gentle, fluid, but it's move. Everything is going ups and downs, and this movement was kind of like, huh.
You can probably see, if we were to do some self-inquiry like we did at the beginning of this class, I'm looking for my separate self. I can't find it. I find only emptiness, nothingness. Mm-hmm. And then as I come to see that my outside world changes as I contemplate a question inside, I'm going to feel more like the everywhereness because I'll recognize out there and in here are the same. Mm-hmm. And then sometimes I might feel like a someone. But the difference being is my identity isn't rooted in any of those. It's just those are three different ways I can show up. I can experience myself all of those ways. And I'm not trying to pick any of them anymore. I did, of course, like we all did, but I can experience even the beauty of being a someone, an individual, not separate, but individual and unique.
What do you mean you experience the beauty? How can you, I don't understand. How do you mean
that? I can, for the first time in my life, I can fall in love with Helen, her quirks and her perceived flaws and, you know, all of those things. I'm talking about myself in the third person, but for all the things I was trying to get rid of about myself, I can now fall in love with. About this body mind and this individuality here.
Okay, now I know what it
is. Self-acceptance in a real and immediate way. This is the nothingness showing up as this. How can anything be wrong with it? If it comes out of that perfection, and we'll look at this more next week, but it's coming out of that beautiful, silent emptiness of being. It cannot be other than that, even though it looks like something.
Yeah.
Exactly. And that's love, isn't it? That's love. And finally, at home in my human existence, I'm not running away from any area of my human existence anymore. And that's the real embracing of that individuality that comes with a deeper knowing of what I really am. I can also show up like this.
Yeah.
And if I say, if I say I love the self and yet I'm rejecting this body and mind, then I'm not really loving the self, am I? If I'm rejecting some part of it here.
Yes, I know that, yeah. Because I can really see the uniqueness of this body. And it's not about good, bad, ugly, beautiful. It's just unique. And unique has no polarities.
Yeah, it just is unique, yeah.
Yeah. And it's like, you know, like I cannot say the rose is nicer than whatever, tulips or something. It's just different.
Or even that the rose bud is less than the rose.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They're just beautiful stages, aren't they, in the unfolding.
Yes, yes. Yeah. So, and that also helped me because there was always what I asked last time. There, I noticed that there is always kind of like a pull towards making this separate me better, or
yeah,
you know, to be likable and so on, and this is really completely vanished now.
And for me still there's things I would like to develop about this individual. There's also some things I'd like to release, but I'm no longer using that as evidence that I'm not good enough. It's just as I continue through this physical existence, those things I want to improve will get stronger, and the other things I'd like to release, they'll go, or they won't, but I'll love myself equally no matter what. Any point along that way, I'm still perfect, you know, the perfect being, the divine being. It's just a different way. Instead of what we do is I'll love myself when I look like the way I want to look, you know, then I'll love myself, and not before.
You see the fun in everything, kind of.
Yeah, yeah. And you can laugh at, you know, I did something really ridiculous the other day, really crazy, and would have been really embarrassing. I can't remember what it is now, but I would have remembered that and gone over and over and over and told myself I wasn't good enough, and I was like, oh, that happened, okay, you know, that it was, I don't know what it was now, but because it's gone, it's not really relevant. It's just not an excuse to fall out of love with myself anymore. It's like, look at this quirky human body, it does these weird things, and that's kind of funny.
And the life is turning, well, of course, there are always some challenges of bumpy road, but it's really every day, it's like a small child, like 2 years old, wake up like, wow, what's going to happen today?
And for a class like this, I have to pretend to be a grown-up for like 2 whole hours, you know? Yeah, it's just a lot of fun, a lot of joy as it deepens, a lot of seeing the world as a child would, but with that adult wisdom too, you know.
It's a day before Christmas every day.
Yeah, absolutely. A Christmas Eve feeling all the time. Lovely. Thank you.
Thank you very much. You.
Wonderful. Okay. Karen?
Hi, Helen.
Hi. How are you?
Thanks for today. It's just so lovely to...
Good.
I can just feel echelons of beliefs just drop away. One of the things I wanted to ask is about the seems to be, about the mind, you know, because we seem to have this capacity as people who can interact with each other. And this label maker that's constantly tracking life, you know, and optimizing whatever.
And swapping its labels, yeah.
Yes, yes. And just you were saying, like, previously, the evidence, you know, it's tracking the evidence and then, you know, what?
Making a conclusion based on.
Yes, yes. And yet it seems to be like the more the mind is just moving like a cloud, you know, a vapor, it's this 1 minute and it's this another minute, right? And you know, in the silence there's no words, and yet we have these seemingly words, and then it just keeps more becoming identity, and that the identity seems to just drop away. But I just wondered if you could just kind of help with because when you were saying like when you're identified as the Helen figure, then you're listening to these mind, these points of view. There's you know, my family member, and there's me. Yeah. So can you just say how you're experiencing the noumenon, even when the mind is identifying as a person?
Yeah, it's that knowing that I'm everywhere or not nowhere in particular is just more powerful. This is the whole idea behind lesson three, that conviction. If you know, if I was to say to you, you're in France right now, there's no way you would believe that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because
mm-hmm.
it's just so obviously not true. I could say anything and you'd be like, don't be silly, that's not true. But you know, if our identity is still caught up a little bit, then we might be really tempted to listen to what the mind says. So we're going from absolutely listening to everything it says with no ability to do otherwise, to in contemplation, we're kind of discerning, what do I want to believe? And let me just kind of come away from that a little bit, question it. And then as the self, as a deep knowing that I am that, it can say whatever it likes. You know, it could say to me, you're not good enough. And I'll go, okay, that's fine. You believe that, you know, and it's just a voice in the wind. It's not talking to me. It can't be talking to me. Where would I be located in order that it would find me to speak to me? It's a voice in a head that's saying whatever it's saying. But is that nothingness, that emptiness that I've really proved again and again and again, that there isn't someone it's talking to? Then that just becomes much more of a lived experience that it can say anything. And you just, it's not even a choice then whether to believe it or not. It's just talking, and that's all it's doing. Every now and again, it might say something useful, like don't forget to lock the door, you know, but it's always, there's no other setting than it's just talking. It's never talking to me.
That is really helpful.
It's just kind of a shift in, if I know that I'm not a someone, yeah. although it still seems to be there, that someoneness, then who is the mind talking to? And where is the mind? If I am everywhere, which particular brain am I listening to? Which one of the 7 billion or whatever it is now am I? I'd have to believe I'm only here to listen to this brain here and say it's talking to me. And I just can't do that anymore from these lesson three exercises. I'm looking, mm-hmm. it's clear that I'm looking at my mind and body, using them lovingly, but looking at them. I'm not living inside them only. Mm-hmm. That's a different perspective, isn't it? It's actually impossible to believe anything from there.
Well, and I just, you know, I think of the books and books, you know, beliefs, you know, like say, for instance, healthcare, you know, okay, well, let's look at the body now, you know, let's cut it open. And, you know, we just think of how we're looking to form, which is actually formless, for the answer. So I was just looking at how quickly, you know, everything in form is constantly moving in time while we believe in time. And that's really helpful.
Good. It's just, I mean, you probably noticed already some lessening of your ability to believe a thought. Where you do believe something still, it's not quite as much believed as it was. And more places you have, you see more areas of thought, you seem to have a choice whether to listen or not, you know, and that's really just this sense that I am in a process. I am moving identity, but from a deep and clear seeing, I am that. Then I have to respond as that. That in which thoughts are just happening. They're just like no more important than the rain falling out of the sky or the furniture in the room. Thoughts are just objects like anything else. And, you know, you don't have any ability to get fascinated with the rain. You don't try to organize the raindrops. Why do we do that with thoughts? You know, it's just, well, they're just objects like anything else, no different than a table or my body, or they're just objects, subtle ones, of course, but they're either there or they're not. But I don't have a problem with them because they're happening inside me rather than to me. That's the major benefit. Well, there's many benefits, but the most immediate benefit of shifting identity over, as we're doing in this lesson.
Beautiful. Thank you, Helen.
Thank you. Pleasure as always. Okay, Amy, last but not least.
Hi, Helen.
Hi. Lovely to see you.
Yeah, I thought I'd put my camera on. Yeah. I'm in a house.
Yay. Better manifestation there, huh?
Yeah, it is. It's been a really good move, actually. Just feeling a lot stronger within it.
Lovely. And even if it isn't the end result of where you'd like to be, just celebrating mm-hmm. the change and it's moving into physicality, isn't it?
Yeah, and I have been, and it has felt like a stronger manifestation, a celebration, and I'm really paying attention to what you said about just celebrating anything that comes in, you know, like even if it's happening in other bodies and all that kind of stuff.
Good. Really good.
There's been quite a lot of challenges that come up over the full moon, though. I wasn't going to talk to you about that, actually, but it's just there's all this anxiety that's come into my body today, and I think I am really pleased that we're doing this lesson, because it seems to be like that I'll really anchor in the seeing. And then it'll be like, you know, there'll be other things in the course of the months that will sort of slowly, and that it's deepened, and it's always there, and there's more stillness, and it's being seen more from there. You know, it's not like it comes and it goes completely, you know. But yeah, it's feeling nice to kind of anchor back into this, and just seeing that there is no separate self. There is just this, like, conditioned patterns and emotions, just energies arising,
and they just pop up every now and again, don't they? They just come up, like this morning.
And they, but
it doesn't mean anything's happening, really. It doesn't mean if you don't give that meaning. I know we've talked about it before, but it's important just to remind ourselves that if you have something arising in you, so my cat's going crazy, sorry. Ian's chasing around the room right now.
She's tapping into my anxiety.
Well, that's actually quite a good, valid type of example right there of maybe some anxiety just comes up in the general population, and even shows up as restlessness in my cat. But it's just, okay, something's coming up for me to process more, isn't it? Clearer, deeper, to release. And as we've spoken about before, probably you can see that you weren't as judgmental with yourself, the fact that it was there, or if you believe some thoughts for a while this morning, got yourself into a right tizzy, you know, there's a quicker and easier just, oh, well, that happened. You know, I don't have to use it to beat myself around the head. The fact that I identified with some thoughts, that is identity shifting, isn't it? It's clearer the way that we treat those things. If I believe some thoughts, so what? Could I do anything about it? No. If I resisted this emotion, I resisted it. Could it be another than that? No. It'd be nice if it was different next time, but it was as it was, right?
Yeah, and there's ever more anchoring into that. It's just energies, if it's caught in that moment and seen, and you know, and then it does go quite quickly.
Every now and again the same thing will happen for me, but now it's just like around about 10 o'clock this morning, there was just a sense of tension in the body. Before that would have been real strong fear and a real contraction. It took me days to work through. And, you know, now it's just, my body's a little bit tense. Let me just take a few nice deep breaths. And that was it. It was a couple of minutes.
Mm.
So it's not like trying to get rid of those things, like trying to stop them happening. It's really what we're doing with them, how much we're allowing it when it comes. And it's not a reference point for how I'm doing anymore, is it? It's just, okay, my body's feeling this way.
Yeah, that's it. And sometimes, you know, I do get identified and that's, you know, that's what happens. But it's also, I've also been working with, like, you know, is it true that I'm the body? So that kind of just, you know, stops all of that as well. Any energies that are there.
And just looking at, maybe for quite some time, these energies will be coming up, but less and less each time, and less suppressed and dealt with quicker and allowed more and loved more and welcomed more, even though they're not so pleasant, because that is what the self would do. It would allow whatever needs to express itself to express.
Mm-hmm.
And we've all spent a very long time suppressing everything we possibly could. Mm-hmm. You know, so there might be some stuff coming up every now and again for a little while, but the difference being you're not using that to sustain your sense of being a separate being.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, if I was awakened, this would not be occurring, says mm-hmm. ego.
Yeah, and it's lightning fast that mind will put meaning on any energy, you know,
these conclusions.
It's just kind of stopping it as soon as I can, and just either act,
it doesn't mean anything,
questioning it, or seeing stillness, or yeah.
And can you see that you did that better today than you've ever done before? And yeah, this is a great big myth, isn't there, that there's this one pivotal seeing of what you really are, and then after that you never have a negative emotion ever again, or an experience that you don't like. And it's just not true, but the way that you're handling that is changing. You're handling it more and more as the self.
Yeah, so it's coming up, but then it's, you know, the best, you know, the energy is releasing, and then it's the, you know, the best outcome that could be, you know, the corners get softened.
Yeah, and when, that's a really good way to put it, when I finally didn't try to get rid of anything or use anything as evidence as to where I am in my journey, that's another way, right?
Mm-hmm.
The conclusions were just like, this means I'm not awakened yet. Or as we were saying, it went from, if I was awakened, this wouldn't be happening, this karmic pattern, this emotion, this whatever, to I am the self, and this is also occurring. It was just a total 180 like that. I am the self already, and nothing is going to be used as evidence to disprove that.
Mm-hmm.
And whatever's happening to the mind and body is what's happening to the mind and body. And yes, we'd like them to feel better, but I'm not going to say, because they're not, that I'm not there yet. It's fundamental, isn't it, in the identity shift.
It's so quick. Like, even this anxiety now, there's, like, you know, such a tendency for the mind to want to say, and this means this, you know.
Isn't it? Mind is a conclusion machine, you know. It's like, it's drawing conclusions from what it thinks is happening.
Yeah, and it's just It's day by day, isn't it? Because you can't always see that in the moment, but over time it's like we're letting go of these the capacity to actually do that, I guess. Yeah. Over time, it's just like in the moment when it's intense, it's like, you know, but it's just part of this chain of them.
And maybe it happens so that I can practice love and acceptance of myself.
Mm.
You know, when I finally not perfect my ability to love myself, because it's an always evolving thing, but when there's no judgment or no judgment listened to, believed in, when some emotion comes up or some thoughts and I really identify with it for 4 or 5 hours or 4 or 5 days, when I finally get to a point where I just come out of that and go, oh, that was an interesting few days. And then it's moved on from. There's no analysis, no conclusions, no, this means you've got to work even harder. This is evidence that you're not awakened enough yet, or whatever is suggested. Then so what? You know, it's like that happened. So.
Yeah, I don't seem to have the awakening thing anymore. I have the the self-improvement thing. Yeah. but that's it used to be the awakening, but I think one bit of pain got released that was pushing that.
Yeah.
And then that doesn't pop up anymore. There's kind of like a natural momentum towards that, but it's not in a kind of deficient way.
Good.
Whereas there's still things that Amy believes about herself, you know, to be deficient. So
that do with and that's okay, isn't it? That's part of falling back in love with Amy completely.
Yeah.
You know, that will happen for as long as it happens, but everything I would want to achieve from my life, from my mind and body and everything, if I could take my kind of idealized picture of myself in my mind, the fastest way to get to that is to accept where I am right now.
Mm. Yeah, exactly.
That's exactly. And that what I want is coming despite my best efforts to resist it anyway.
Mm.
You know.
Yeah, and it's just about working on feeling that instead of, you know, activity to get it,
just less and less referencing anything that happens to your life, to your body, to your mind, to your emotions as evidence of who you are.
Yeah, that's it. That's something that's like, you know, comes in to be remembered quite a bit, because it gets forgotten. It's not an automatic thing still. It's kind of, yeah.
It will be automatic, though. It'll be, this is just how I'm showing up right now, as this negative emotion, or as this contraction, or as this experience, or as this bliss, or as this peace, or as this sum of money, or whatever. You know, this is just how I am right now.
Mm.
And there's no further conclusion than that. It's just, oh, this is what I'm showing up as right now.
Mm.
That just becomes more and more the normal, how you experience yourself. What am I going to be like today? Oh, well, I'm like this right now.
Mm. That's it, because there's nothing else.
Nope.
There's nothing else. There's nothing else. And in the moment, that scene, but it's just like, but there's like this, you know, there's just this mechanic, this like, you know, whirring app that just goes, that takes over for a minute, you know. Mm. That's just like, oh, but you know, and it's this kind of pushy energy that comes in and goes, oh, you know.
And the only thing that's keeping him worrying now is the idea that he should go away.
Mm.
Every now and again something might pop up and interpret what's going on.
Yeah.
So what?
Yeah.
Or quite often someone might pop up and interpret and conclude and all of that
on the outside as well.
Oh, look at that, that means that, and then something happens, like, oh, that means, you know. But in the end, it's like that is just happening, and maybe the only thing that's sustaining it now is the sense that it should stop.
Mm.
And you finally don't care what the mind is saying, because it's not really relevant. It's not wrong, it's just not relevant to the self, to the noumenon. Then it finally he kind of wanders away because he's not, there's nobody to play with him anymore.
Mm.
Even to push him away, right? Go, that's, I don't want you here.
Yeah, it's like there's a slight not seeing of it because there's a slight pushing away of it. Yeah, it's that kind of, yeah.
Just looking at how is the silence with the mind? What does silence do with the mind? What does stillness do with ego?
It's very subtle, isn't it? It's just this kind of like, oh, that shouldn't
it,
be
it
there.
Really doesn't care, does it, in that way? It's not like cold. Yeah. It's just, if you have thoughts about separation and suffering, or if you have beautiful thoughts about being one with everything and you feel blissful, it doesn't care in that way. It's not trying to change anything. Mind says, I don't want to be there because I have to accept the suffering. But when I accept myself as I am right now, I'll begin to feel how I want to feel. And it never works the other way around, ever. Although your mind keeps trying infinitely.
Yeah. Just this morning, I had something that I was like, oh, it's the wrong way around again. It's just like, that's infinite, isn't it? Just to kind of, keep turning that around, because it's very sneaky sometimes, and it's like, you know, just gets me, and then I'm like, oh, that's the wrong, it's just ever deepening, isn't it? Ever deepening.
I'm trying to change myself again, some kind of subtle I'm trying to alter what is and expecting myself to feel peaceful when I'm resisting what is.
Exactly.
When I'm pushing against this moment, I'll feel better, says mind. Really? It's just never worked, ever.
Because there is a future, and there is, you know,
some point where I'm perfect, or lovely.
Thank you.
Lovely
to talk to you. Thank you.
Okay, lovely. So just to quickly wrap it up, this week I'm going to ask you to keep on with your meditation, tuning into the noumenon, and then you might want to add these two exercises in either before your meditation or after, but at least to do them once a day. But you can, as you get the hang of these exercises, so we're just looking, and they're on the homework sheet, so excuse me. It's on the homework sheet, so you don't need to remember it, but we're just looking for that separate self in that seems to be inside the noumenon, or looking at the noumenon, and we're hopefully not finding it. And even if we do seem to find something, looking at what it actually is. And then the second one is to question how, go through the stages, am I recognizing the noumenon with my senses? Am I recognizing it with my mind? And it's okay if that bit isn't clear yet. That's just where we need to put some attention. And then how am I recognizing it then? Am I using any part of my body-mind vehicle to tune into the self, to meditate? And that will provide huge shifts. So as you get used to doing this, you can, these exercises will take 10 seconds. It might take a few minutes as we went through it today. But as you do it more and more, you're looking for someone, can't find them. A couple of seconds like that. And you can do it as many times as you want. And this is one of those things that the more you do it, the faster you will get there. The more you do this exercises, the faster identity shifts over. Knowing that all we're ever suffering from is this idea that we're separate to the self. All human suffering has arisen out of that one idea. And so everything turns around when that idea is seen through. And even if we know it here, we need to prove it experientially, like we're doing in the exercises. So the next Q&A is Thursday morning at 11 a.m. UK time. And if you want to send something in, question, feedback, challenge, you can do that. But it needs to be in by 11 a.m. Wednesday, 24 hours before. So thank you very much. Namaste.